And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Bible teacher and translator Dr. Paul Esposito and Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. Dr. Esposito is the translator of the English Majority Text, New Testament, as well as the Apostles' Bible, a modern English translation of the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament, both available through Amazon Publishing. And now here with today's broadcast is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, Senior Pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here. This is WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday, and we're tuning into God's frequency here today. You're going to hear the sermon, which was just preached on this past Sunday by my associate pastor, Darren Solana. This is a fantastic word out of the Gospel of Matthew. It's entitled The Confrontation of Christ. So that's where we're going to be today. This will wrap up tomorrow. I invite you guys to church on this on the Wednesday. That'll be our next service. And I am in the book of Daniel, and I'll be in chapter 3 this Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock. Exciting time in the book of Daniel. It's the companion book to the book of Revelation. That also is what's going on here on the radio. We're here in the book of Revelation, and you're here in this Sunday sermons. Let's get into this past Sunday's sermon now. Here's Pastor Darren, and here's the message, The Confrontation of Christ.
Like I'm running on at least 7 cylinders. I don't know. I might have to take it easy. I got wound up pretty tight there in Sunday school this morning. Look out. I got to pace myself. I'm sweating already. I ain't even got started. Phew. We had a great Sunday school class today. It was awesome. This morning I am going to be in Matthew chapter 10. If you want to turn there while we're getting ready. While everybody's turning, we'll start off in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you for a beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for another day in your house, Father. We thank you for the gracious gift of being able to fellowship with one another and worship you freely, Father. We just thank you so much. Father, I pray for Lila, Lord, that you would comfort her today. Father, we pray for Karen, that you would heal her, Lord. Whatever it be that we need, Lord, you know what we need. We just pray for you, Lord. You're enough. You're more than enough. Pray that you would inhabit the praises of your people today. Father, that you would use me today for your will and for your purposes and for your glory. That you would use us all. Father, that you would help me today to preach and teach your word. Father, and that you would help our ears to hear your word and our hearts to receive it and our minds to understand it, Lord. Convict us where we need convicting, and heal us where we need healing, Father, and change us where we need changing, Lord. We submit unto you today, Father, and we thank you and we love you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, starting off at Matthew chapter 10. If you've got the handout, the title I thought was a very interesting title, The Confrontation of Christ. I received the title about a month ago, and I sat there and stared at it for well over a week before the Lord allowed me to put pen to this paper. It's an interesting sermon title. Like I said, title was the only thing I had on this piece of paper for about a week. Before we get into Matthew chapter 10, I want to take a look at the disciples' walk with Christ today. And I wish to do this to make comparisons. Comparisons to their walk and comparisons to ours to see if we can find any similarities or differences. And this causes us to examine them, but most importantly, it causes us to examine ourselves. Now, Christ starts off in Matthew chapter 4. He starts off by calling these disciples off their job. Now, I would say leaving my job would be a hard thing to do, unless I might have an inclination that what I'm being called off of, that something better might be coming along the way. Then it might not be such a hard thing to do. But if you're thinking that the new offer is better than the one you got, nothing to it, right? Let's see. Let's weigh it out. Let's see. Commercial fisherman, tax collector, or sitting on a king's court? No brainer. At least so they thought, or at least that's what they expected. The next thing you know, Jesus is going around town healing all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. He's among the people and his fame is spreading, Matthew 4:23. And we say, so good so far, right? If you're a disciple. And at Matthew 10:1, he gives his 12 disciples the same power that he has. So it seems like it's getting even better for the disciples, right? Would appear that way. At 10:5, he's going to send them out to do his work. And he tells them to not take anything for their journey. And that might seem a little bit daunting, but he's giving them power. And we know how much men love power. Let me read Matthew 10:5 to you. You don't have to turn there, but it might be just across the page from where you're at. He says, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Sounds pretty good so far. At 10:16, Jesus confronts them with something that they didn't expect. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James. And the heading in the New King James at 10:16 is persecutions are coming. Now, look at how much different this is from 10:5 of what he has just previously told them. Now, he starts to tell them something. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogue. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks into you. Now listen, verse 21. Now brother will deliver up brother to death. Your family's turning against you. And a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all my namesake. By all for my namesake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. You see, as Christ gets closer and closer to the cross, his words get harder and harder to hear. Harder and harder to receive. See, a confrontation is now starting to happen that they didn't expect to happen. And they're faced with a decision to make. And it's a hard decision to make, but it's yet that one that has to be made. The decision: follow him or turn back. And if you're a person that doesn't like confrontation, you might going to have a hard time with Christianity, especially with the four Gospels. His words are hard to hear. You know, I used to have a little piece of paper stuck to my refrigerator, and I had it there for years. I don't know what I ever did with it. It had a little saying wrote on it, and I stuck it on my refrigerator so I could look at it every day to confront myself with it. And that saying is that I had on my refrigerator was, "You will never change what you refuse to confront." You will never change what you refuse to confront. A confrontation is taking place with Christ and his disciples, with Christ and us. Follow him or turn back. There's no middle ground. There's no lukewarm. There's no straddling the fence. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. You've got two choices when faced with the confrontation. Now, I would love to sugarcoat this for you, but I can't. The confrontation gets more intense once we get to 10:34, which is where we've arrived now. Now, listen to the words of our Lord. He's going to confront you and them, and it's going to hurt. Matthew 10:34. It's going to hurt because it's probably not what you expected. Matthew 10:34. He says, Christ speaking, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household, his family. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Listen, and he says, "And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Ouch! Did you hear what he just said? He just said that if you love your children more than you love him, you're not worthy of him. If you love your mama and daddy more than you love him, you're not worthy of him. And if you aren't willing to take up your cross, which is self-denial, and follow him, you're not worthy of him. Ouch! That hurts. Examine yourselves. I have to examine myself. How am I doing this with this? Do you think that as a pastor, I'm immune to this sort of thing? No, I'm even more accountable for it. It starts here. When I'm sitting around praying, Lord, what do I tell your people? What do you want me to say? Well, it starts with me. Let's work on you first. Let's see if we've got anything in there that you might need some help with or something that needs to be dealt with. When you read his word, you can't wiggle your way around it. He has just confronted you with the truth. We have to examine ourselves. Now, I'm sure you want me to elaborate on this and try to take some of the sting out of it. And I will elaborate on it, but I can't take the sting out of it. Verse 34, he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth." The first thing we need to do is to realize that Jesus is not little baby Jesus anymore. Right? And we're not going to start off the service by singing "Away in a Manger." And Jesus is not some glorified Santa Claus. And Jesus is not some religious little genie just sitting around waiting to give you your every wish. That's not what we're dealing with here. Jesus is a grown man. And he's speaking to us as grown men and grown women. Now, first, let me tell you what he is not saying. He is not saying that we should not love our fathers or mothers or brothers or sisters or children. He's not saying that at all. That would go against every teaching that is in the New Testament. Matter of fact, he even says for us to love our enemies, right? How are you doing with that one? He's not saying that. That would go, love is the bedrock of the Christian faith. What he is saying is if you love these more than you love him, you are not worthy of him. Examine yourselves. He already knows what's in your heart. And he's confronting you with the dilemma you are now facing. So we have to ask ourselves the question. Who or what is sitting on the throne of our heart? Is it a son? Is it a daughter? Is it money? Is it security? Is it position or standing? How about, is it you? Are you sitting on the throne of your heart? I mean, are you of the attitude of, it's my life? If that's your attitude, then you're on the throne of your heart. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2:20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Are you still living for yourself? Only you can answer that question. It's a hard word. It's hard sayings. And don't think that I don't fully, when I've finished a sermon like this and I look back on it, don't think that I don't fully expect to get some backlash at the end of the service back at the back door. I do. Most of the time I do. Most of the time I think, golly, the harder I am on them, the more they receive it. But I expect it. And I'm sure the church can find a preacher that would shy away from stuff like this. But I can't change the Word of God. You're faced with the confrontation of Christ, and you're left with two choices: follow Him or apostate. Those are your only two choices. You can't sit somewhere in the middle. Will following Him make you one of those Jesus freaks that everybody talks about? You're darn right it will. You're darn right it will. Call me a Jesus freak. I'll consider it a compliment. Our Lord Himself tells us what choice to make, because He repeats Himself in Matthew chapter 16. At verse 24, He says, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for My sake shall find it." I'm here to say today that Jesus will not occupy the position of second place anywhere. He will not sit in second. There's only one place for Christ, and that better be first. There ain't one and a half, one and three quarter. First. What do you put before Him? Where is He on your list? Are you committed to Him, or you just want Him to be committed to you? I remember most everybody in here is my age or older. I'm in pretty safe company. Do you remember those old bumper stickers on the cars years ago? A bumper sticker that said, "God is my co-pilot." Y'all remember that? "God is my co-pilot." They were on every car in Florida. And what a farce that is. I'm like, if God is your co-pilot, you have just put the sovereign Lord in second place and made yourself sovereign. And you better change seats, because that plane's going down. God is my co-pilot. You better change seats. He don't play or occupy number two. He occupies number one and number one alone. Where is He on your list? He says, "He who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after Me is not worthy. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for My sake will find it." There's not much way around that, is there? It's hard to hear, isn't it? It's hard to hear. Especially for somebody that loves his children. But my children don't ask me to bend on what I believe. And my children wouldn't dare ask me to put them in first place over my God. Because it ain't going to happen. It won't happen. He is first. That's the only position that He occupies. And let me give you some good news. When you put Him in that position, everything else falls into place. But you have to be willing to put Him where He rightfully belongs. The seat that He occupies is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and no other. Mark 10:17, Jesus confronts what would appear to be a religious man. He's asking questions with a sincere heart. The answer he got is not what he expected. He's confronted with the truth. Now he has a decision to make. That Mark 17, he says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running. See, he comes running and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Sounds really enthusiastic, doesn't he? Sounds like a pretty good guy, right? By the way, he postures himself. He comes running to Jesus. He's eager. He bows before him and says, good teacher, what do I need to do to go to heaven? Sounds like a very sincere person. So Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Pretty good job. Better than I did. Because I was a little bit known to might let my mouth get a hold of me and might say something I shouldn't have said around my mother and father.
You've been listening to WGOD Radio, the teaching ministry of Dr. Paul Esposito from Merritt Island, Florida. To contact Pastor Paul, write to him at elected77@gmail.com. The church's website is islandcommunitychurch.net. The videos of Pastor Paul's sermons are available on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.